Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, Jesus says, "You are salt. You are light." He describes God's people with these metaphorical symbols and then sends them on their way. Well, after 25 years of reading this text, I read it again. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is good for nothing. Throw it out." So I got to thinking, can salt lose its flavor? So with great metaphysical thought and thinking and working my various parts of my brain, I immediately went to Google. And I looked up a scientific article about salt. And I found out that chemists can take a very, very long time and say page after page, "The question is, can salt lose its taste?" And for 5, 10, 15 pages, they go on and on and on to say no. I would have just said no. Salt can't lose its flavor and remain salt. That's the key. Salt loses its flavor when it becomes something else. You can dilute it in water. You can chemically combine it with other chemicals so that it no longer really is salt, but it doesn't actually lose its flavor. It just can't. So in the same way, I got to thinking, well, then if we're salt and we can't lose our flavor, what does it mean if we are light? So I assumed the lotus position and looked at Google again and found out that not only are chemists long-winded, but photoscientists are equally long-winded. And I wanted to know what happens to light. Does it ever, like, go away? Does it dissipate? And after page and page and page of reading, the answer is no. Almost. Light just keeps going. Hence a light year, right? You know, those stars that you're seeing is light reflected from billions of years ago. At least so we assume. Aren't we going to be surprised to find out that isn't true someday? It's actually aliens with flashlights. I don't know. But light just keeps going until it runs into something else. And then it's reflected. Light endures. So you are salt and you are light. That's what Jesus tells us. And if you are light, what should we do with you? Should we put you under a basket? No, we set it on a stand for all to see. These are the images that Jesus uses to describe you. Salt and light. That's what the followers of Jesus are. You can't become more light, right? Light is light. You can intensify it, I suppose, but light is light. Salt, can you make salt saltier? Make it more sodium chloride or potassium chloride? So you are already everything God calls you to be. Salt and light. Well, the function of salt is myriad, and we kind of consider it a little bit of a throwaway thing, right? You know, so I went into the kitchen to get this, and we don't have just one. We have boxes of salt. And should we ever run out, we can go to Costco and buy a 50-pound bag of salt for just a few dollars. But in the time of Jesus, this was gold. You didn't just put it on your potatoes or your baklava. You preserved food with it. You traded with it. It was a wonderful commodity. And so when Jesus says you are salt, it means something. You know, these days when they say, well, he's a bit salty, we mean something altogether different, don't we? This weekend we had Punahou Carnival, and we found out that some people, when they're under a little stress and looking for parking, can get very salty. We heard words in our parking lot that we don't generally hear on a Sunday morning. Some of our volunteers got to experience what it's like for the poor Punahou Carnival volunteers, who, by the way, apparently have a completely God-given right to park wherever the hell they want to. As one woman said, pardon my French. That's what we think of salty. Salty is this and salty is that. But for Jesus to say we are salt means that we are transporters of the gospel. That in ourselves we're just these worthless grains, but that when we go do the work of God, when we live out that Spirit, something incredible happens in the world. They experience Christ in a new way through you. The world is changed. St. Paul, as he addresses the people there, In his letter this morning to the Corinthians, is saying to them, look, I didn't come to you with the ways of the world. I didn't come to you in wisdom and with big long articles or long arguments or giant tomes to convince you about Christ. I simply told you the truth. And I ask you to live it. If you adopt the ways of the world, if you define yourself by the way the world says you ought to be, then you've changed your chemical composition. You aren't salt, not because God didn't make you salt, but because you combined with something else. So Jesus says, I gave you the law, and not one jot or tittle, not one stroke of a letter will be gone away from the law, because I hold you to it. And of course, if you've studied the law, what's at its base? Always God's love. That's what undergirds the gospel and the law. So you are salt, you are light, Jesus said. Well, what will that look like, I wonder? For Isaiah, it looks like this. If you remove the yoke from above, from among you, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like noonday. For Isaiah, for the prophet, to be salt and light is to live out the mission of Christ in and for the world. I'm sure you're getting tired of hearing about it, but that's the deal. If you think I'm boring about it, you ought to listen to Jesus. He never stops talking about it. What he tells us is that we're not going to find the truth of God in these wonderful propositions or in our arguments. We're not going to discover God by arguing in the boardroom about how many angels are on the end of a pin, which, by the way, is a much more interesting argument than you might imagine. But by living out the law of love. To be salt, to be light. To be salt is to to bring flavor to the food of the gospel. To be light is to push back the darkness so that the truth of that love can be lived. Isn't it strange that Isaiah gives us this incredible vision of what the church and our ministry can be? The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. You should be hearing the echoes of Jesus' sermon. Your ancient ruins will be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And this, I think, can you imagine if people said this about the Christian church? You shall be called repairers of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. That is what we are when we are salt and light. And you are the salt of this earth. And you reflect the light of Christ. It's who you are. You can't be made more so by going to another church or going to another workshop or signing up with another guru. You are already salt and light. Now we have to live it. So become repairers of the breach and builders of the street to live in, for you are salt and light.